Good evening. Before the reading, there's a message of Master, a loving message. Just have more deep faith in that supreme power within you, for undoubtedly it will come to your aid, guide you aright, and eventually take you out of this seemingly impossible situations in such a sublime manner which you cannot possibly imagine. Tonight's reading is from Heart to Heart Talks, number 8, and it's an evening darshan at Rajpur on the 15th of September, 1970. Master, when a man is involved in his meditation, he says, "Oh God, prolong the hours, so they may never finish and never end. Any time spent in separation should be shortened." Question: may the time be hastened when I can make that statement. My wife was wondering, based on the other night, whether we can work off some of our karma in dreams. Would you explain that a bit more? Master, sometimes it happens that a man has to be born into another life, but in special cases, the master can pass of that life in dreams. You feel and see everything. It happens rarely. Question, and we can work off that other life in dreams? Master, the master makes it work off, not you. Question, so in other words, the dreams that we're dreaming are working off that extra life that otherwise we will have to come back here to, Master. No. Generally, dreams are only reactions of our many thoughts which occur to us during the day and are not complete. There are dreams and there are visions. There's a vast difference between the two. In dreams, it's not clear at the time. In the morning when you rise, you think you have seen something. But in visions, you are wide awake. You remember at that time. And even in the morning, they're quite fresh. Dreams are hazy. You are not fully conscious at the time. Question. Explain dreams a bit more, won't you? Quite a few people say that they have been having unusual dreams since they came here. Someone was saying that tonight. Master, what sort? Most of them will be reactions of the past that come to view. Some dreams, as I explained, are not dreams. They're visions. You can meet the master. You can see many future things which are going to happen. These are visions. Sometimes it happens that you see someplace, and years after, you happen to be there. These are visions. Any unusual thoughts, dreams? Let me hear about them. Any of you? There's a pause and much laughter. Question. Nobody wants to admit that they had some unusual dreams. Master. Let us hear one or two. Question. I don't try to remember them. I have been having a lot of dreams. Master. A dream is always disconnected. In the morning, you may have a hazy idea about it. So these dreams are not unusual. Some things from the past do come up. They're not reliable, I tell you. Visions are reliable. Questions. When you go to sleep, and you may be half asleep, and then you start to leave the body, your soul starts to move up. Is that going in a vision or, Master, if you are in a dream, you go to sleep. Are you conscious? Question. No, not if you're asleep. You're going to sleep and then all of a sudden you become conscious. That's your soul is rising. Master. Yes, the soul withdraws. That's all right. Question. So what does that mean? Master. You've relaxed. You've withdrawn. In sleep We are in the habit of leaving the body. We withdraw from the body, from outside. In visions, you are wide awake. The body sleeps. The more you relax, the more you will feel withdrawn. Question. But it feels as though the soul is going up. Master, let it go. Leave the body. Don't be attached to it. That is withdrawal. That's good. Relax fully as a meditation. That is why I say sit down for a while and then rise inside. Just go. Go up. In meditation, the question is one of full relaxations. You may be sitting, you may be lying. When lying, the only fear is of going to sleep. But the same process is there. In sleep, also we withdraw. Somebody asked Prophet Muhammad, "Do you sleep?" He said, "My body sleeps. I do not sleep." The soul does not sleep. It withdraws. Question. I was very sorry the other evening when you asked us to step into your bedroom. The tape had run out, and at that time, you had several comments on consciousness, and I wish very much that we had recorded. Could you repeat them? Master, what was the subject? As it comes, I give out. Question. I asked you if you yourself did any sleeping, and then you came up with this answer that I wasn't able to record. Master, I have just told you, for sleep and meditation, when you withdraw, the first process is the same. The soul withdraws from the outside, withdraws from the body below, and comes to the back of the eyes. The same as when a man dies. That is the usual process. Now, in dreams, the soul descends into the gullet. In sound sleep, it descends to the navel. But as you develop, you'll remain conscious, and the body will sleep. So this sleep is lessened the more you are accustomed to it. You usually sleep 7 hours, some only 6 hours, 5 hours, 4 hours, 3 hours. We've seen many cases of only 2 hours. That starts in, what you say, the physical body. Then you completely leave the physical body. The body takes rest, but you are wide awake. Question. I remember when I asked you whether you sleep yourself and you asked me, "Are you worried?" And the answer was, "Yes. Perhaps I should not be worried about this, but I have little worry about it." Do you ever sleep at all? Master. Yes. Why not? Question. The rumor is that you don't get much. Master. An hour or two. That is relaxation. Sometimes when I'm tired. As you go on, that is lessened. Question. But in that hour, you're able completely to recuperate for the next 23 hours? Master. Yes, this is recharging. Daily you recoup. On spiritual health depends the life of the mind and body both. That is recharging. When you are very tired, and recharge. The curative power is in the soul. Medicines merely help us to clear the way, that's all. I remember in 1914, I was sitting in the dispensary of a doctor. He wrote a long prescription, I think for 8 or 10 ingredients, and asked his compounder to dispense it. I was watching, and he hardly put one thing in it. And then he added water, distilled water. I asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "This is to satisfy the people. The real work is nature's work. The soul's work. The curative power is there. I give only a little something, tincture of ginger acid, soda bicarbonate, and so on. That's all. And it takes effect." Question. Master, you've spoken a number of times of Thoreau, Henry David Thoreau, as a Western saint. Master. Thoreau, yes, the guru of Emerson. Question. Wasn't Emerson his guru? Master. I am under the impression that Thoreau was the guru. Question. I think Emerson came first. Master. Maybe. I'm not exact about it. But they were connected. Thoreau forgot himself so much so that the gnats made nests in his hair, whereas Emerson was not like that. Question. My question was, is there anyone at all in the West today of Thoreau's caliber? Master. Maybe. How will it help you? Question. I think we would willingly admit that the spiritual leadership comes from India today. The question is a little provincial in wondering if North America may not have someone who comes close to Thoreau, or at least so that we can have someone 70 or 80% over there, as Thoreau was, I believe, you said the other day. And he's mentioning a heart-to-heart talk of September 7th, and it wasn't recorded. And the master had said that Thoreau came closest to being illuminated in the USA, perhaps 70 to 80%. Master, maybe more or less, the world is not without enlightened beings after all. A few must be there. That can't be denied. Mainly the center has been in India, Central Asia, and India. History shows that. But you have got sufficient advancement in a material way. What more do you want? Question. I wasn't thinking about satsangis at all, Master. We have you. We don't need it. Say other masters. Master, I am not the master, I tell you. God in me is the master. I never dream of it, that I'm the master. I see some power helping others. All thanks goes to him, not to me. Question. You don't mind us calling you master, though, do you? Master. This is a misdemeanor. God is the master. There must be some word for it. Maybe master or teacher or elder brother or father. If you call me brother, friend, what difference does it make? Question. I noticed the other day someone referred to you as Maharaji. Maharaj means highest person. I'm sorry, master. Maharaj means highest person. That's all. These words are words, you see. Really, Maharaj is just that which is within me. That is within you, too. Question. I think someone had another question back there. Master, yes, come up. It may be the worst of questions. Don't be afraid. No reservations. To the best I know, I will reply. As the daughter comes to the mother, as the son comes to the father, as brother comes to brother, ask me. Where's the question of reservation? Not in me. Don't be ashamed. Question. I was wondering, Master, why do you give 5 different charge names to the Muslims? Master. Yes. What is the reason? There were saints in the Muslim religion, too. They had the same words translated into Arabic, meaning the same thing. But it is only the charging that helps, not the words, mind you, that. All scriptures say you must remember God through a saint. What is the reason? Charging is the action behind it. I will give you an example. One man was bitten by a scorpion. There is pain. The man who has got that incantation breathes several words, and that pain is lessened. The same words may be repeated by another who's got a PhD and so many other degrees. Those words won't work. The master who has got that competence can even ask a little child to repeat the names. His words will help. That means the charging, the thought transference of these words. These names are given out in books. Anybody can give them. Our master used to say, even the spinning girl can give you these 5 names, but they don't carry the charging, you see. The charging will give you the experience. Question. What is the nature of the charge that you put into the words? Master. Thought transference. The words are charged because thought transference is there. Thought transference begets experience. You follow me? These words coming from a competent God-man will give you progress within. What might have taken 100 years, you can do, say, 3 years. That's the difference. Moreover, if the negative power appears or any delusions are created within, when you repeat the names, they will be off. The charging will help. Question. What you are saying is that if you choose, you could pick just any five names and all and give them to us? Master. Yes, any. That's why I give them in Arabic. Question. Do you give any other combinations of names? Persian? Master. Persian is Arabic. Any man may say, all right, say Ram, say God. That Ram, God, conveys only one aspect of the case. One aspect. Ram is permeating throughout all creation. And the word Ram means that. That is one side. These five words you see correspond to different stages. They explain the whole creation. Question. But I mean, you could at initiation give apple, pears, prunes. If you gave it, that's the thing that counts. Master, I never give anything, and the people have the experience. That's thought transference. Children on initiation day, 10, 20, or 30 children sit down. They see light. They are not giving the names. That is thought transference. Question. What is the purpose of creating the planet Earth in the divine plan? Master. Who created it? You should go to him and ask him. What is the purpose for which I am making Manav Kendra? After all, some purpose is there. I wish it. I am inspired by anything I wish. All men should sit together without any labels. They may be of any religion, but they are men first. The purpose is there, of course. If God wanted to create something, after all, nobody can question him like that. When you reach him, you will have no intellect, no questions. Question. Is that answer available at the top of the mental plane, too? Master, these are all questions in the grand delusion. Unless you transcend the astral plane, you cannot know. If a man reading in the primary class has put a question in trigonometry, will he understand it? When he reaches college, he begins to understand. Question. Where do we stand in the educational scheme spiritually? You spoke of college and grade school. Are we as far as kindergarten, most of us? When does kindergarten begin? When you break through? Is that kindergarten? Master, there is no kindergarten here. You start when the kindergarten is finished. You rise above physical body kindergarten. You are in the physical body of outgoing faculties. When you rise above them, only their religion starts. Daily you rise, and naturally you feel your outward attachment lessen. You'll never be afraid of death. You'll be jolly, glad. Guru Nanak said, die 100 times a day. Question. Oh, yes. Takes up your cross daily. Master. Yes, this cross. The master shows a cross as a human body with outstretched arms. We have symbols, yet we have forgotten what they stand for. They simply took the burden of the cross here on the shoulder and passed it through the streets of Jerusalem. That was symbolic. But within is light. Merely taking the cross in the body is a symbol. The real taking of the cross is to rise above body consciousness. Question. You mentioned Guru Nanak a moment ago. There have been some people who have described seeing you with Guru Nanak. But I was wondering how those people are able to identify Guru Nanak. They never saw him in the flesh themselves. Master, that recognition arises from within. And when you compare it with the outward pictures, some paintings, they mostly agree. They all meet inside. You recognize them from the inner sense, from the sixth sense, not the five senses. Better, I think, go there and see. Question. I know that's your constant message. Master, unless you see for yourself, these things may for a while be interesting to you, but real interest will arise when you see inside. I wish every one of you would become ambassadors, saints, want everybody who comes to them to become a saint, real saints, and not the business-like saints. The only criterion is if they can give you a lift, open the inner eye, and not propaganda. A true master will show you there is light inside, not tell you that you'll get it in due course. What other criterion can there be? Tell me. Their propaganda? No. Money can buy anything. Propaganda can be paid for. But what is the criterion? The true criterion is to see who can open the inner eye and remove the darkness from within. There you will see God is light. Question. You speak of false prophets as lambs who rarely are really ravening wolves. Master. I don't speak about false prophets. Christ did. Question. Well, others have. Master. I quote Christ's words. Question. But you also, of course, have spoken of so-called masters, which is another way of putting it. Master. Very polite way. Question. Yes, but haven't the so-called masters at times been helpful? Now you spoke of one the other night. We didn't mention his name, but he was of help to me and my wife, if only briefly. Is he going to be condemned forever because of giving help? Master, you see, you can learn in the primary class. A teacher is there. Be thankful for him. I say be thankful for whatever you learn from anyone. Then you go to the middle class. If that is the same teacher that can teach you, well, good. If you go to the college and that very same teacher can give you college teachings, well, good. If not, have respect for what you have learned at his feet. Then you have to go to someone else. Lukmana was a very wise man. People asked him, where did you get your wisdom from? He said, from the fools. You see, what he meant was that anyone could get the same thing in different ways. The same pain may be expressed in so many ways. I had an experience once when I went to America. I was called to be on television. My name went around like wildfire in the United States, and some of the heads of religion got together and said they would defeat me. I appeared on the program without the knowledge that anyone else was going to appear with me. When I arrived, there was a round table. Four or five people entered. I greeted them. All right. How do you do? I'm glad to meet you. Thank you so much. Sit down. One was a Jew. Another one was a Roman Catholic. One was a Protestant. One was something else. And one was the head of a newspaper. I hope you don't mind, one of them said, if we have something to ask. No, most welcome you are. You may ask any questions. The program went on. Then all of them, one, two, three, four, five, all of them put questions. I replied. Eventually I said, any more? Then again they asked further questions. I replied. After that, only two or three remained. They put more questions, and I replied, and it was a round table, you see. Underneath, they were passing messages. They were saying, put him some more questions, making signs with their legs, with their feet. And finally, one said, how do we know that we can know God? How do we know there is a God? I told him. When you get a pain in your stomach, how do you know? They shook their heads and said, you're right. And that way, they were going to be belittling me in the eyes of the United States. Question. I know you weren't answering these questions, but I know you won't answer this question, but let me ask it anyway. Master. What little I know, I'll tell you. Question. What do you foresee 10 years from now for Manav Kendra? What is it going to be like out there in 10 years? Master, that's a place of refuge. Question, refuge from what? Master, from the troubles of the world. Question, like bombs maybe? Master, maybe 20 years. Question, 20 years for refuge from bombs? Master, it appears like that. Do I have common ground to sit on as a man? That's the only refuge left now, I think. Question, that's what you spoke of, its ability to accommodate a million persons. Master, no, that is only because it is a vast place. If all men sit together, even now, when they go there, 10,000 people gather like that. In the ashram, too, 25 or 30,000 people gather there. In the United States on tour, they had 50,000 in one day. Question, is this one of the blessed locations that will not be affected by, shall we say, atomic radiation? Master, no place is safe from atomic radiation. Seasons have changed, but this is an ideal place in the north of India. So I wish that Manav Kendra centers could be located in the north, east, west, and south, all corners, one in the center too. Ultimately, that will happen. Question. You imply that India is probably going to be spared the Holocaust that might hit the other parts of the world. Otherwise, these five centers, of course, will not continue to exist. Master, India may be the worst. Question, it may be hit the worst? Master, it may be a field of action. Times have changed for the worst, you see. China came on India like anything, but turned back. It lasted a day only. That was the home of our saints, a spirituality that has been radiated from India and Central Asia generally, and Punjab has been separated from this part, you see. Places have no sanctity, I tell you, but still they have their atmospheric effect, less poisoned by the people at large from the towns. And also when I came here in 1954, it was all quiet. Nobody was seen there were hardly one or two out walking. All doors were open, no theft, nothing of the sort. People of this village came up to me and said, we are without any living, we have no livelihood. There is a vast difference between then and now. Now it is better as compared with those times. You now find so many government offices, theft has just begun to be here too. We never dreamt of it before. Question, has theft penetrated your household? Master, not here. Not here. God is here. But it is coming in this area, I mean. The poison of the towns is wafting in now. Question, as far as we're concerned here, we can throw away our locks. Master, my point is that this place was all calm and quiet some time ago. Even now, when you go to the back, it's more calm and quiet. And Master's referring to the behind the back of Master's garden. Have you been to the back? Question, yes, Master. It is very calm and quiet, all wilderness. When I am here in Rajpur, usually in the morning, you will find me here. I come sometimes for a day or two, then go. Question, back by that little river back there? Master, no, no, that's a tank. It is very calm, very atmospheric, you see. You hear the sound principle when you sit calmly in secluded places where the poisons of the town have not reached. But the best place is within. Outer solitude helps to some extent. The most air-conditioned place is within you. And that concludes the reading.
Could you tell us again what you're reading?
We were reading Heart to Heart Talks, Volume 1. It was the 15th of September, 1970. An evening darshan in Rajpur.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, can mother forget his children, small children? She might be working here, there, anywhere, you see, in the kitchen, everywhere, child is lying in his room, but there's a connection. Little children, child moves there. Then the milk began to, you see, come from the breast. The child little cries, she at once runs and means everything, maybe most valuable. Similarly, you see, we are all children of God. God is man, he does not spend it. But the yearning of the artist is the disciple does pray like that. Well, don't forget us. Even if you go away, we are yours after all. But I tell you, it is mother first who loves us, the child. Child's love is only reciprocal. The love that a master has for his children, for his disciple, for his children, he looks on the level of God in him. He loves his disciples, and hundreds of others won't love him for his children. But he loves his soul, judgment of the soul. With no consideration, no recompense, nothing like that. Mother may be loving the children, you see, with the hope when they will grow up, they will help us, this and that thing, in our old days, they will become our stake. But Master doesn't need that. He simply sees that, hey, they are all, the souls are like the God in him, thinks that is my children. The more we have that yearning like that, you see, the more our mind is cleansed of all grass of the world, wiped away with the tears which roll down from the eyes, that water. With that water only, these doors of the fields of many bus paths can be washed. Mother Room says at one place, if you want to go to the place of pilgrimage, the Makkah, so there are two ways from India, you see, one is through the sea, the other on the land. But the way on the land is very sandy, you see. There's dust of water, there are no communications to the deserts of Arabia. So it's very hard to reach the place of pilgrimage if you go on foot, or even on horses, you see. Because in the sense no car can go here. And there's a way through the sea. And that takes you quicker there in 3 days. So he says, well, look here, if you want to have a pilgrimage of God, well, come through the waters of tears. You'll go quicker. Rather than you go through land or sand. What is that meant by that? Any prayers, any rites or ritual performed or reading of scriptures with dry hearts, like gymnastic, mechanical, that won't help you to read God. Just to read scriptures, your heart should be full, and that or should overflow twice. There was one pandit, you see, he was relating the story of Rama. When there was one illiterate man, you see, he was sitting, he was reading out in Sanskrit language, and he was shedding tears like that. And the pandit thought, perhaps he has followed me very well, you see. When the talk was over, he called him and said, look here, you understood my talk, sermon very well. I have not followed a word of you. Why were you crying and weeping? Then I had that scene of Lord Rama before me. My heart was full and shedding tears all through the scene. I never had a word of God. So this heart of love, you see, this is the foreshadow of the coming. When rain comes, there are clouds come before. When there are blossoms in the trees, fruit growing tree is their home for fruit. Similarly, the heart which is full of anguish, you see, yearning, overflowing with tears, you see, from the eyes. Such a one, you see, heart can be perfect. And you see, sometimes we never remember God. You see. Days and days pass away. We never think of that. By keeping diary, there is one thing very important, perhaps we have not seen all aspects of it. That during the day you are remembering the God in it. You see? Otherwise you won't remember it. At least at night you remember what I have been doing and I have to send it. Diary, you see? Isn't that a great blessing? We never realize the truth of the things which are given. And all the time you say, oh my God, I have to, not to do this, not to, always thinking of the Master, of the God in it. So such a heart, you see, becomes the fittest to receive it, the quicker way, the quicker way. So that was a prayer like that, you really full of pathos and yearning, you see, oh Master, you are going but don't forget us. You cannot remember you unless you remember us. That's our love is reciprocal, I don't know. So when you sit together, two men sit together, two disciples of the Master, naturally the remembrance of the Master comes. That is the first thing. When you are asked to just don't miss attending the group meeting, when you sit together, you think of the Master. One says of his own, says, well, this is like that, the other is like that. That way, the remembrance is revived. It's another thing. That is why Christ said, when more than one man sits in my name, I am there. And moreover, you dwell for receptivity. So God, you see, when Master initiates anybody, he resides with him for very time, from that day, from very that time, and never leaves him unless he takes him to the lap of the Father. And that is what is called God's power or Guru power or Christ power. So such like attitude makes us fit. Such like time spent and comes just sitting with you. You have responsibility. So these are some of the poems written by me when I was away from my Master. This state of mind, you see, cannot be special mercy. It has not been given to words to express the feelings of the heart, you see, yearning of the heart. So such like attitude radiates in the atmosphere. This goes to cleanse all foreign, external thoughts for the time being. It is just like, you see, ego, when it comes in, no spell is there. So when the ego of love comes anywhere, you see, no thoughts arise there. So all Master say, well, look here, the heart is it. They've given you like a sacred trust. Don't misappropriate it. It's meant for God and that. Only God is on that throne and nobody. So such like prayer, these help me. These things are only come out, you see, afresh from every heart, gush out of the heart. Only such like prayers help. Sometimes you watch some models, I mean some specimens of prayers as given by Masters. That is only such like words that they give out should come out very hard, gush out from very hard. Only mechanical repeating something that can be so effective. If you love everything, you abide in his heart, let my words abide in you, and you abide in me. How can you abide in it when you remember? The more you know, the more he is reaction. And what does it cost? Anything? And time flies away like anything. By the time of preparation for the Master, at least sometimes for 8 months, thankless was in, and these things came out of my heart. Heart is only one, not two or three, how many you have got? One. Yeah. You want heart, you see. When you give a heart, what remains? Where the heart goes, everything goes, you see. Body and soul both. This is what is meant by Shraddha and devotion. Simply in an intellectual way, in a philosophic way of thinking, this is all that. If the learned men come to know a little iota of what madness we have got, yearning for the knowledge, they will leave, forget everything and they will dance like anything. Such a heart is the abode of the Lord, you see. Even when we say prayers, we are thinking of the worldly. I should not delay you longer, that is why. In few words, man is the highest in all creation. And the highest aim that is before us in the man body, as given out by all masters who came in the past, is to know God. To know God, we must know ourselves first. God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, nor intellect, nor vital air. It is the soul alone that can know God. But our soul is under the control of mind, and mind is under the control of outgoing faculties. Our attention, which is the expression of our soul, is diffused into the world through the outgoing faculties, and identified with them so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. As I told you, it is the soul alone that can know God. Like knows the like. Soul is conscious entity. God is all consciousness. The first thing is that we should know ourselves. All masters, whenever they came, they gave out the same thing, know thyself. How can we know ourselves? By liberating ourselves from the clutches of mind and outgoing faculties. Or you might say, by analyzing yourself from mind and matter. Or still further, you might say to rise above body consciousness. When you know, you will see that very God whom you find is already there. Man body, the wonderful house we live in. We are living in this man body, and we are also controlled in the man body on account of some higher power overhead. Otherwise, we could run away out of this mad body. There are so many apertures in this wonderful house we live in, but we are controlled, we cannot go out. breathing goes out. Some power cannot remain outside. Some power is bringing it back into the body. That power which controls us in the body, that very power controls all universe. That is what is called God power. But by so many names given by various masters, by different names. God wordless or nameless, when it came into being, that was called name, shabda, word. That called into expression power is the cause of all creation. So you reside in this very man body, and also whom you are after, for which purpose you have joined various schools of thought or religions, he also resides within you. Kingdom of God is within you. If you would like to find or enter in there, you will have to enter in the laboratory of your man body. You may be seeking outside for years and years. You may be observing so many rites and rituals which are performed at the level of the outgoing faculties. You cannot find a clue of that. So all Guru Nanak says, so long as you do not know yourself, you are in a grand delusion. So it is a pity. We are the indweller of the man body. That very power which we have to find is also already there. A fish living in the water inquires where water is. In the scriptures you'll find a description of the findings the masters had in their lives when they come in contact with that God power. There only a description is given by reading which that can flare up an interest in you to know Him, to have those very experiences what the masters had in their lives and are recorded in the scripture. There the scope and what the scriptures say, God is within you. Body is the temple of God. All masters say that. In their own words, of course. So, if the God is within you, you must try to find Him where He is. If you try to find Him in the outward things, outward places, you cannot find Him. We have regard for all scriptures. Or they give a beautiful, fine records of the experiences what the masters had in their life. We have respect for all places, holy worship, for the reason they are made models out of the man body, dome-shaped all Hindu temples like head of the Hindu body. Cross-shaped or nose-shaped, all churches within the symbols representing God. God is light. God is music of the sphere. So these are two symbols kept in those to show the such-like light of God is shining within you, the such-like music of the sphere that the voice of God is reverberating within you. That can be heard. You can have contact with those when you rise above senses, above body consciousness. So it is a matter of practical self-analysis. How to rise above body consciousness? You can rise above of your own efforts, you are welcome. If not, you can seek the help of somebody who goes up and has the competency to raise your soul, liberate also your soul from the clutches of mind, now doing faculty, and is able to give you an experience of opening the inner eye to see the light of God, and opening the inner ears to hear the voice of God. Call him by any name you like. He is a man like you by outward appearance, but inside he has dwelt that way. He has analyzed his soul from mind and all his faculties. He rises above body consciousness daily. That was what was meant by what the scriptures say, learn to die so that you may begin to live. That is what is meant by when St. Paul said, I die daily. So this is what is meant by to be born anew. This is what is meant when it is said, kingdom of God cannot be had by observation, it is within you. In the outwardly subjects, we do need the help of somebody who is expert in that way. All these subjects have to do with the outgoing faculties. If you need just somebody to guide you, help you, why not in a case, in a subject which starts when you rise above body, all outgoing faculties? It's a matter of common sense. If you can, well and good. A blind man needs two eyes to see. So we need somebody. Son knows the father and others whom the son reveals. And that sonship continues. So this is what is before us. For that purpose we have joined various schools of thought. And you'll find who can withdraw from outside, who is not attached outside, very clearly. Who is attached outside, given up to outer pleasures, and lives a sensuous way of living. Such a man is not fit. Two things, there are five senses of the outgoing faculties, but two of them are most dangerous. The first is lust. The second is anger. All are dangerous, but these are the most dangerous. And even within these two, the first is most dangerous. Kabir says, I will forgive all sins, but not who have given up to unchaste life. These are his words. Naturally, your question will arise, what to speak of those who are married?